Oh, the second hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. And as everybody knows, Pete Seeger passed away a couple weeks back. And there have been a lot of NPR articles and newspaper articles and obituaries and all that. And, of course, 4 years earlier, there was a huge hoopla when he turned 90. And, of course, when he sang at Obama's first inauguration, and you know, all the accolades have been said and well deserved. And you know, we, if you're a regular Inland Folk listener, we have over many years played much Pete Seeger, new and old, and recognized him for what he is always. And there will be no one who is as much of a champion of the traditional folk song, as well as the changing times in music and what that all means and the universality of music and how it so applies to the human race and all that kind of thing. And that's really what it all boils down to. It's easy to forget that these people are human, and you need to remember, you know, when we talk about Pete Seeger and throw him up on pedestals and everything, that he was the one who tried to cut up the sound system there at Newport. Really, literally took an axe to it, waving his arms around when Dylan went electric. And, you know, he reacted strongly. He was a person who had strong beliefs, but the purists were losing their acoustic guru at that point. And it was a knee-jerk reaction, and he denies it still to these days that he actually really did not want to destroy the sound system. He just thought it was too distorted. And I think an axe is a little extreme. You could just turn down the master volume. Anyway, there was that. There's a great, wonderful DVD, and it was part of the American Masters series, I believe, called "The Power of Song." And one of the things that they address is how he dealt with stardom. And the cool thing about Pete Seeger interviews is he is continually saying, "If I knew then what I know now." He's a man who reflects, he applies, and he works all this. But it talked about stardom and how he dealt with stardom. And he didn't always deal with it in a good way. And there was an interview with one of his daughters, I believe, and she was saying, "Oh, yeah, we were living his dream on the Hudson with no electricity out there in a cabin. And we had to carry our water, and we had to do all this. In the meantime, he's touring 300 and some days a year, and he's in fancy hotels, and he's being catered to, and he's doing his thing all right, but we're the ones out there suffering." And she's talking about how she resented that. And so there were a lot of things he had to work out in order to become the Pete Seeger that we are familiar with, and that needs to be noted. And Pete, of all people, would note that. All righty? So keeping it in perspective, Pete Seeger is a human being. He is a human being like the rest of us. He's a human being who has gone to rest and leaves us with an incredible legacy of not just his music, but traditional music, tons of knowledge, and tons of discussion about what it means to be Pete Seeger. Alrighty. This is a really neat thing. This is an interview supplied by WFMT out of Chicago. This is part of the Studs Terkel Almanac. It was recorded in 1955. And we really appreciate WFMT for sending this down to, I believe, all the public radio stations. It's pretty neat. And it's there for you to listen to. And we will listen to it right now and augment it with not just Pete Seeger songs, but I thought what I would do, just so we could keep it in real perspective, is play some of the mainstream versions of hits from Peter, Paul, and Mary and the Kingston Trio to augment some of Pete Seeger. Alrighty? So the Studs Terkel Almanac from 1955, an interview with Pete Seeger, excerpts from this interview, and it's pretty neat stuff.
As far as an FMT audience is concerned, I think it's almost needless to tell you whose banjo that is you're listening to. It's the banjo of the number one five-string banjo picker in the country.
Oh, go on.
As we're concerned, and the voice you recognize, I imagine, immediately. That's Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger sitting up as us here.
You got to quit being a disc jockey for same for a change. I am not the number one banjo picker. First place, there's no in any kind of art. You can't say something's the number one. You can't. How can you say that so and so is the best pianist in the world? He might be best to somebody. He might be worst to somebody else.
Pete, I think it's this commercial life I'm leading.
And as far as banjo picking goes, there's a fellow down in West Virginia who can just play rings around me named Earl Scruggs. He's the king of the banjo pickers as far as I'm concerned.
It's about 3 years ago, Pete, you mentioned the name of Earl Scruggs. I've been trying to... You remember the record, the tune that he played?
Foggy Mountain Breakdown?
How'd that go?
He plays a very syncopated kind of style.
Everything turn, there is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to be. To everything, turn, there is a season, turn, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. Together to everything, turn, there is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. To everything, turn, there is a season, turn, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time of love, a time of hate, a time of peace. I swear it's not too late. To everything, turn, there is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything, turn, there is a season, turn, and a time for every purpose under heaven. Come, Papa, come, Mama, come sit you down by me. Come sit you down by me and sing me a song. For my poor head is aching and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor cowboy and know'd I done wrong. 'Twas once in the saddle I used to go dashing. Once in the saddle I used to go gay. And so on. He sings
One Morning
verses
in May.
And has the verse about get 16 young maidens to sing me a song.
One theme there, the burial ritual, the earthiness of it. Oh, 16 young maidens or 16 gamblers. Sure. to either carry my coffin or to strew my grave with roses. Or
now, I'd be willing to bet that every single one of these different songs had a specific event that caused someone to change it around. I mean, the man making up the song, he didn't just change it because he wanted to get a quick buck on the hit parade. He changed it because something happened in his community, maybe. Somebody got killed. It was something everybody was talking about. And so at the next party, the next gathering, he took out his guitar, if he had one, and he sang his ballad, which all he'd done was change around the words of the older song.
Always something specific out of the experience of that minstrel, that troubadour, where it might be.
I think it's that which gives folk songs their reality. The fact is they came from real things.
And they're specific, too, isn't that so, Pete?
Specific,
the lyrics are very specific,
that's right,
too.
The man isn't trying to make a song that's going to last for all time. He's trying to make a song to sing to his neighbors. And he'll mention right in the ballad who it was got killed, who shot him.
How many Pretty Polly type songs are there of the boy doing in the girl? You know, the American tragedy. Must be hundreds of those, perhaps.
Tens of thousands.
Now, you did one, I remember some time ago, called John Dooley. Remember that, John Dooley?
Tom Dooley's right.
Tom Dooley, that was that.
That's a nice song.
Now, that was a post-Civil War song, was it?
I've been told it was.
As I understand it, maybe I'm wrong, he came home from the wars and he found his girl was unfaithful.
That's the story.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't guarantee it's
true.
Well,
how does Tom Dooley
do? Do your listeners ever sing along with the radio?
Well, let's try it now.
Because this got an awful nice chorus.
Right.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. That's the chorus. Next time around, you can hum along with me. You too, Stokes.
All right.
And you too, Norman, back there behind the glass. I met her on the mountain. There I took her life. I met her on the mountain and stabbed her with my knife. Oh, hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Fetch me down my banjo, I'll pick it on my knee. This time tomorrow, I'll be hanging on a white oak tree. Oh, hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Soldiers gone to graveyards, everyone. learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
A lot of people don't realize that every popular movement that ever came along often had a theory behind it. And some person using his old gray matter in the brain was thinking, what's going to happen, not this year or next year, but 10 years from now or 20 years from now? And he starts laying plans. And way back in the 1930s, my father, whose principal interest was a musicologist, interested in music just as an art form throughout the entire world, he said that the healthiest thing that could happen for American music is for there to be a big revival of interest in folk music.
Well, certainly don't you feel there has been? I mean,
and he started way back in the 1930s talking to music teachers, composers, people like Aaron Copland and Roy Harris. They never would have written their symphonies based on folk songs if it hadn't been for people like my father arguing with them, saying that they ought to leave Europe alone for a little while and get interested in their own 48 states.
Look inside ourselves here. Out of it came. This is interesting, this tie-in of the serious musicians, composers like Copland and Harris, and the influence of American folk music on their serious works.
You know, I don't know if your listeners realize, but this revival of folk music is a fantastic thing.
Talk about that, Pete. Let's hear about
that
now.
500,000 guitars were sold last year. That's according to Business Week magazine.
500,000
yeah.
Guitars.
Can you imagine all those people trying to learn how to play the G chord?
Well,
that is wonderful.
I'm sure there are a great many WFMT listeners, I know, interested in learning the guitar. And on this subject, if I may make this point, Pete, there's a new album of yours coming out, How to Play the Guitar.
Yeah, it's called The Folk Singer's Guitar Guide. And it's like one of these Lingophone records. You put the needle in the groove, and out comes my voice. It says, now, pluck down on the lowest string with your thumb. Boom, it goes. Now brush down on the rest of the strings with your ring finger. Zing!
Can you demonstrate this with your banjo?
Well,
there's a banjo in your hand.
I'll say, now pluck down the bass string. Now brush down on the rest. Now come up on the first string. Now put it all together. Now you do it over and over.
Pete, on that subject of family, you have three kids and a lovely wife, and I just bring this up not in terms of intra-trade talk here, but in terms of music. I mean, what about your kids? And when you sing to them at night, what do you choose?
I usually let them choose, and frankly, they prefer stories and songs, at least at the moment. I figure if they want music, they can take it. I'm not going to force it on them.
You want to perform a great public service?
What?
There are many FMT listeners who are family people, and the kids are very much alive and alert, but the problem sometimes, they're too alive and alert in terms of sleep, see? So what do you suggest? What, for example, let's assume there are some children listening right now to FMT, and it's a happy event to listen to you at all times, but nonetheless, the next day is school. What's a tune that you would find somewhat on the...
I don't know.
Side.
I've tried singing lullabies, but my kids are on them now, and they know they're propaganda songs. They shut me down. Ever hear this one? Don't sleep, don't sleep, don't sleep, the elephant, don't sleep. Don't sleep, don't sleep, don't sleep, the elephant, don't sleep. Don't sleep, don't sleep, don't sleep, the elephant, don't sleep. Cause if you sleep, I'm gonna knock out your back teeth. Don't sleep.
It's reverse psychology.
I don't know. There's a little lullaby I came across in a book given me by a woman from South Africa. She was of Zulu background, and she wanted me to learn some of the folk songs from her country. She sang me this and then gave me the book, which it was written in. It was all about a monster named Abiyoyo. Now, according to her, the parents would tell this story about a monster which came along eating up little children, get them scared to death, and then they would start singing this song, and the monster would start dancing to the song. Abiyoyo, 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 yo 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 yo, abiyoyo, yo 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 yo. The monster starts dancing. He gets more and more excited, and they speed it up. Abiyoyo, abiyoyo. Abiyoyo, 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 yo 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 yo, abiyoyo, yo 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 yo. Finally, he's out of breath. He falls down on the ground, out of breath. At which point, the parents come up, they chop his head off, and the children are safe and go to sleep.
We don't know what Dr. Spock would say about this, but we're certain it's effective. This brings us to Woody. Woody Guthrie, certainly one of the key figures in American folklore. We know Woody's been ill, and it's so hard to estimate the contributions of a guy like Woody to Oklahoma, of course, was his bailiwick to begin with. How do you feel about Woody and Sullivan?
Well, Woody taught me a great deal. When he left Oklahoma, he went to California along with a lot of other Dust Bowl refugees. Then he came to New York, where I was living at the time, and I just latched on to him, and he taught me a great deal. I've always thought of Woody in the same sense that I think of Robert Burns, an ordinary guy who just had a fantastic gift for poetry, but he had no pretensions or ambitions to be a literary lion, and his credo, if anything, was an honest man's noblest work of God. And Woody has written, most people don't realize how many songs he's written, thousands of them. Of course, they're not all good. Not all of Robert Burns' songs are good either.
I remember Library of Congress's comment, I forget, it may have been Alan Lomax who said it, or I forget who it was. It described Woody as the greatest ballad writer of our country.
Yeah, Woody thought that a day was lost when he didn't write a song, you know, even if it was some little jingle about the people he was singing for.
What's a Woody song? Is any song that you associate with Woody, anything dealing with his childhood or Oklahoma?
No.
There's so many.
No one song that I associate with Woody. Because every place he went, he had another song about it. When he was in the Northwest, around Oregon, he made up songs about the Columbia River. Perhaps, have you ever played the one, Roll On, Columbia Roll
How's
On?
How's that go? That's a Woody song, isn't it?
Wonderful song, too. I gotta get in tune.
Green Douglas firs where the waters cut through. Down her wild mountains and canyons she flew. Canadian Northwest to the ocean so blue. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
I go to Portland, you know, all the school children sing along with me. They all know it.
They know
there.
The song.
At Bonneville Dam, there are ships in the locks. The waters have risen and covered the rocks. Shiploads of plenty, they steam past the docks. So roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. On up the river is Grand Coulee Dam, the biggest thing built by the hand of a man, to run the great factories and water the land. So roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
There's more good songs than we can possibly sing. I think that's one reason that this folk song revival has... It's more than just a fad, you know.
By the way, you feel... I was about to ask you this question. I'm a Pollyanna on the subject. You have actually been hitting the grassroots regularly. You feel there is a folk song revival.
Oh, definitely. It's a revival, not a survival, you know. I mean, in some many small towns, the old ballad singers are dying off. They're people who learnt these old ballads when they were young, no matter where they came from or where they were living in this little town, the old ballad singers are... In a few more years, there will be none. But there are literally millions of young people who said, hey, this is fun. This is a good kind of music to play. I don't care. You can call it corny or not. I like it. And they're starting to play instruments. And frankly, I think it's a good thing, you know, switching off the TV set and the radio once in a while and making your own music.
You think they're in other words, they're actually saving a heritage here.
Saving a heritage, and it's part of what I think is a gigantic counter-trend in American life to... the mass media. You know, usually, if you think of American life and culture as being characterized by mass communication, the
people watching television becoming saucerized.
Television, Hollywood movies, a few big magazines. You no longer have to tell stories to your kids. You can go down for a quarter and buy something made up by someone else. You pay your money and you get something cheaply, which is easier than doing it yourself.
Pay your money and takes your choice, which isn't too much in this case.
That's right. That's the important thing. You see, you don't get much choice. Mm-hmm. The big companies can't afford to give you a wide range of choice. So there has to be a standardization. Well, now, if you consider that's the main thing in American life today, not just in books and music, but in products. I mean, when you go down to buy a car, you have a small number of companies that produce millions of cars cheaply. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have a high standard of living. But at the same time, there's a counter trend going on by people who say, well, I'd like to have a little bit more choice. I'm a little more particular. Now that I have got a high standard of living, I can afford to be a little more particular. So some guy who may work in a furniture factory all week, turning out thousands of chairs cheaply, will come back home and he'll decide, I don't want to go down and buy that chair cheaply. He'll go spend $50 on tools and he make himself one. It may not be as fancy or as strong, but he made it himself.
In other words, this do-it-yourself idea is a very healthy
one. The Sunday painters, the do-it-yourself, all across the country, you find people wanting to do something more creative than simply taking a dollar out of their purse and buying something cheap and sitting back and receiving it.
And so, too, this case, there's a sing-it-yourself trend.
That's right.
Which explains why 500,000 guitars were
sold last year. And in the long run, I think it's the healthiest thing that could happen for American music, not just in everybody's home, but even classical music. We'll have great composers in this country someday when you have millions of people making their own music.
In a sense, Pete, I don't mean this is retreating to the past, but it's going back to reviving the richness of the past when, I guess on Sundays or evenings, families would sit around the piano, whatever there might be, and sing and participate.
That's right. It's no accident, after all, that Bach and Beethoven and the rest of those great composers came from countries where it was the normal thing for families to make their own music. And when we in this country also have it a normal thing for families to make their own music, then we'll have great composers.
Again, as you talk, I think of the next question to ask. You mentioned Bach and Beethoven. Goofing Off Suite. This is the magnum opus of Mr. Peter Seeger. This is on me. I love to hear you do Bach on the banjo. Can you do a part of Goofing
Off Suite? All right, I'll play it. Let me explain to your listeners.
Ahead.
This is a record which is just a collection of little bits of nothing that I've been hanging around the house for a long time, and I didn't know what to do with them, so I put them all on one record to get them out of the way. And I called it the Goofing Off Suite because I'd been up to the Berkshire Music Festival in Massachusetts, and I listened to some of that wonderful chamber music they have there and decided it's time I compose something. So I've gone and composed a suite, that is, I swiped it. And it's called the Goofing Off Suite because I'm very serious. If you want to learn how to play a guitar or some instrument like this, you have to know how to goof off. If you're one of these conscientious people always doing just what you're supposed to, that guitar will stay in its case week in, week out. You never learn it until finally you give it away to some young person who knows how to goof off. In my house, I confess, I'm in a very fortunate position. Everybody can be working to beat the band. Me, I'm lying up in the bed picking the banjo. My kids say, Pop's practicing.
On the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all go to the university, and they all get put in boxes, little boxes all the same. And there's doctors, and there's lawyers, and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martini dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, and they all get put in boxes, and they all come out the same. And the boys go into business and marry and raise a family, and they all get put in boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
There's this recurring theme on so many folk songs, plaintive ones of the sort, poignant ones, in which someone wishes he were something of the non-human, I was about to say subhuman world, but I'm not too sure about that, of the non-human world. Like, in this case, I wish I were a little swallow, or I wish I was
a lizard in the spring. Yeah. Wish I was a lizard in the spring. If I was a lizard in the spring, I'd hear my darling sing. I wish I was a lizard in the spring.
And the minstrel of the Appalachians.
Oh, this is not a peculiar to folk songs, you know. What was it? Hawthorne wrote, "I wish I was a little flower upon my lady's breast." I think it's a time honored tradition of making a poetic simile. Mm-hmm. You want to compare your own wishes to something. And,
with another aspect of nature, of life. Perhaps feeling free, escape in a sense. Pete, how about a wind-up? There's one song that used to close the midnight special every Saturday night, a lullaby. And we think of course, your Hush Little Baby. There's a history behind the song, isn't there? So behind this particular lullaby.
Like a lot of people, I just sang this song because I liked it, not knowing what the words meant. And then someone pointed out to me, he said, you go through so many, look at several other lullabies that come from the South, and you get that same little phrase, black sheep, where did you leave your lamb? Way down yonder in the cornfield. The buzzards and the butterflies are pecking on its eyes, and the poor little thing cried, Mammy. And you know what it refers to? It's very plain now, I understand. It's the case of the slaves, the mothers, having to go and take care of the children up in the big house when their own children were unattended, down in the slave cabins. Who's going to take care of them? They're running wild down there. And the flies would be bothering them. They'd leave a child to take care of them, but the child would run away. That phrase comes up in song after song. I've heard that little verse in lullabies. It's the slave mother who was tending somebody else's house when her own house was unattended. Her own children were down in the fields. The
song goes as far back as that.
Yeah.
Hush, little baby, a hush-a-bye.
Sleepy little baby, when you awake, you shall have cake and all the pretty little horses, black and bay, apple and gray, coach and six little horses. Hush-a-bye, hush-a-bye. Go to sleepy little baby. When you awake, you will have cake and all the pretty little horses.
Mm-hmm.
yonder down in the meadow, there's a poor little lambie. The bees and the butterflies are pecking on its eyes, and the poor little thing cried, Mammy. Hush-a-bye, hush-a-bye, go to sleepy little baby. When you awake, you will have cake and all the pretty little horses. Hush-a-bye, don't you cry, go to sleepy little baby. When you awake, you will have cake and all the pretty little horses.
A lullaby. On that note, we wind up our almanac. And Pete Seeger, it's always a rich experience to sit here and to listen to you and to glean stuff out of you, Pete, wherever you sing and wherever you go, and take your camera work and record. Best of luck to you, because you add so much richness, I think, to our country and to the joy of
it. Oh, Studs, let me thank you and WFMT. I feel that I must be old friends with some of your listeners.
We'll convey that feeling to all the listeners of FMT. You've done it just now. Thanks a lot, Pete Seeger.
Old devil time, I'm gonna fool you now. Old devil time, you'd like to beat me down. But when I'm feeling low, my lovers gather round and help me rise to fight you one more time. Old devil fear, you with your icy hand. Old devil fear, you'd like to freeze me cold. But when I'm sore afraid, my lovers gather round and help me rise and fight you one more time. Devil hate, I knew you long ago. Then I found out the poison in your breath. Now when we hear your lies, my lovers gather round and help me rise to fight you one more time. No storm or fire can ever beat us down. No wind that blows but carries us further on. And you who fear, all lovers gather round. We can rise to fight you one more time. No storm or
Memories of Pete Seeger. I want to thank WFMT from Chicago and furnishing that with the old Studs Terkel Almanac. Studs Terkel himself, you know, was a legend. I bet he did that almanac for, I'll bet he did it for 50 years. And he was still doing it in the early 2000s. Studs Terkel interviewed everybody. I mean, we're talking everybody, presidents and prime ministers and Pete Seeger and Woody Allen and then just folks who had written books, folks you'd never heard of. The Studs Terkel Almanac. And pretty neat stuff. And what a great thing. You remember, now you have to keep this in context, that interview was from 1955. 500,000 guitars sold in 1955. That was before the Kingston Trio released Tom Dooley. And of course, we heard the Kingston Trio doing Where Have All the Flowers Gone, which Pete Seeger wrote, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, their melody, which he says is a better melody for If I Had a Hammer than what he and Lee Hayes had written. And of course, Pete Seeger performing one of his major hits on what it was then Top 40 Radio in the early 60s, Malvina Reynolds, her song Little Boxes, and then Pete Seeger's own song Old Devil Time from a 1996 album, but he had written it much earlier. And, you know, he would be the first to say, time just catches up with you. And that's what happened. 94, his wife Tosh had died in July. And Pete Seeger has joined Tosh. I guess you could say it that way. Alrighty, there you go. And there's lots more Pete Seeger. And, of course, because we do Pete Seeger all the time, you'll hear Pete Seeger from the Weavers on up to his last album, which is kind of a memory of Woody. And, you know, we're going to keep going with this show until you all don't like it. And at that point, then on this show, you won't hear Pete Seeger anymore. When you'll hear it some other way. So there you go. Okay? And it is not sad. And I don't think that Pete Seeger would view it as sad. He had a life, and what a life. Go back, check about the Smothers Brothers. How Pete Seeger and his Weavers, how they were all blacklisted as of 1955 and he couldn't get on television until 1968 on the Smothers Brothers program. And that's a whole story in itself. Did a little show called Rainbow Race in the 60s, recorded it in a little cardboard set studio up in upstate New York. And a lot of people came on that show, helped him out while he was... People like Johnny Cash. And eventually Pete Seeger showed up on a Johnny Cash show, and Johnny Cash got a ton of hate mail from all the conservatives, which goes to show you what an enigma Johnny Cash was and how diverse he was in his ways of dealing with music. Anyway, it's such an incredible, complex, wonderful saga, the Pete Seeger saga. All righty, Ricky Skaggs.
Bye. rest of us. Jesus born, child of God. Jesus born, just like the rest of us. Jesus born, child of God.
Blessed are they who share the wealth. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus walk, just like the rest of us. Jesus walk, child of God. Jesus walk, just like the rest of us. Jesus walk, child of God.
Heal the sick and feed the poor. Go in peace and sin no more. Jesus die, just like the rest of us. Jesus die, child of God. Jesus die, just like the rest of us. Jesus die, child of God.
Started to mold, said the banjo picking man. Mon said, boy, bring me that sack, you know you can't hurt him.
Well, you know you can't hurt him, you know you can't hurt him. Mon said, boy, bring me that sack, you know you can't hurt him.
Making his way across the USA. Tuck a ham in a box with nails for locks he'd open up once a day. He'd hand some to the waitress, say, throw this in the pan. I've been all around this world, and girl, you know you can't hurt ham.
Well, you know you can't hurt ham, you know you can't hurt ham. I've been all around this world, and girl, you know you can't hurt ham.
And it can hurt your back. Get a hold of milk too old and throw things out of whack.
And you can hurt a chicken, salmonella will mess you up.
And no one can hurt you like someone you love. There's a culinary promise that's known throughout the land.
No refrigerate, no expired date, you know you can't hurt him. Well, you know you can't hurt him, you know you can't hurt him. No refrigerate, no expired date, you know you can't hurt him. No refrigerate, no expired date, you know you can't hurt him.
What about a man that'd write a song about ham?
I agree. Think about it. Think about the amount of times you reach in the back of your fridge and you find a hunk of ham that's probably like a month and a half old. A little dried out and everything, but still, because it's all smoked and salted and everything like that. It should last you almost as long as a Hostess Twinkie with all of its preservatives. 22, 23, 24 years. You think? Yeah, but I do that with ham a lot. I'm sure that if there was an expiration date on it, I'm sure I'm sometimes long past that. And I'm still alive. So there you go. Ricky Skaggs. Before that, Andrew Calhoun from his album Living Room Music, mainly gospel stuff. It's the second album he's done with a lot of gospel. If the first one was more Camptown Meeting type material, Andrew Calhoun, who at one time was one of the contemplative stream of consciousness, pretty dark stuff in terms of what he wrote, wry sense of humor. And now these last couple of albums have been traditional. He did one of all Scottish music. Claimed he did a Scottish song that had never been recorded, which could be pretty right on. Andrew Calhoun, good guy. Haven't talked to him for quite a few years. But what can you say? He's a very diverse character, Andrew Calhoun. Alrighty, we're done with the second hour. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marr. We're going to be back with a calendar and lots more music. You just hang on, because we are coming back and there's lots of good stuff. And I'm just feeling like telling my audience you're great. You're bloody great, as they say. Alrighty, we're coming back. Hang on, hold your horses, because it's all good. We're coming back now. Hold on.
It's a minute before 1 o'clock, and the third hour of Inland Folk with Dan Marr is just ahead here on your NPR and classical music station, Northwest Public Radio. I'm Bruce Bradbury. Support for our programming comes from the Yakima Symphony Orchestra, presenting Say It With Music, a tribute to American pops composers, including John Philip Sousa, George Gershwin, and Henry Mancini. Saturday, February 8th, that is today, 7:30 at the Capitol Theater. Tickets and information at ysomusic.org or 853-ARTS. Northwest Public Radio, KRFA 91.7 Moscow, KNWV 90.5 Clarkston, KNWO 90.1 Cottonwood, also on translators K274BK 102.7 Kamiakuski, K265DX 100.9 Enterprise Oregon, and K272DO 102.3 Orofino.
I'm John Idstey. When it comes to journalism, it's nice to have the facts. NPR reporters know it's their job to find the facts. It's hard work, it's expensive. We do it because it's who we are, and we do it because you support it, and you know that we depend on you to help pay for it. So thanks.